I speak to you in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A duet of cellists sit in the captain's cabin, playing Bach's Cello Suite No. 1 in G major. The scene is in the movie Master and Commander. A wood-paneled room is flooded with the deep sound of notes played simultaneously. The cellists play masterful harmonic chords with bowing that unites the notes. You know the music I'm talking about? The music is a pleasant interlude on an otherwise horrific sea journey on a warship in, I believe, the 18th century. The choice of the musical piece was meant to help us feel how good and pleasant it would be if humans lived as harmoniously as these notes flowing from the strings of the cellos. Relationships characterized by a lack of conflict create harmonic sounds that lift us up to a divine state and give us hope. Just as different notes can create an agreeable and pleasing sound, humans of different traits and perspectives can as well. Our relationships would be as flat as the popular melodies of today's music if we didn't combine our differences in an agreeable way. Creating harmony with music escapes most of us, so let's think of the harmony various colors can make together. These pigments here are chosen carefully to create a palette of colors that will be applied thoughtfully to a painting, like this of Elijah. The key to beholding a pleasing icon is one that creates harmony from these different pigments. When the icon of Elijah or Mary and Jesus in the chapel are done, the spiritual beauty and depth you see depends upon the iconographer's ability to bring the colors into union with each other. When it is completed, the colors abide with each other in a pleasing harmony. Something from heaven touches us on earth when a painter has harnessed a combination of pigments and made them a whole. Notes or colors dwell together in good art, calling us to what is good, calling us to celebrate together in unity, and beckoning us to the universal harmony God has made known to us. Romans 1:20 says, "Even since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been seen and understood through the things God has made." Psalm 133 is an ancient art form that flows off the pages of sacred Hebrew scripture to anoint us with its music and wash over us with its harmonies. The preciousness of harmony is sung out in this psalm. The expensive, priceless, divine character of harmony floods the spaces we dwell in to call us into that very thing, harmony. The metaphors of this psalm run down from the highest heights of our earthly existence and into the valleys where we live to make unusual and desperate parts of ourselves and of our lives whole and unified in harmony. The poem sings out the belief that harmony is a precious gift of God, sacred even. As sacred as the anointing oil that sanctifies people for holy orders. When people get along, this harmony flows between everyone in the cabin, in the art gallery, in their homes and communities. This harmony is as ordained by God as the priests of her church. This harmony is symbolized by the anointing oil, ordinary cold-pressed olive oil made sacred, made to soothe, to heal, and sanctify our relationships from the tops of our heads to the bottom of our robes. The expensive holy oil is made to run down over every dry, cracked parts of our bodies and our communities, equally ministering to those at the top and those at the bottom of it. The oil of harmony makes us as holy and united as the Holy Trinity. We together are meant to be experienced as good and pleasant as the divine Trinity. If the metaphor of Aaron's beard and robe doesn't work for you, then we are given another one that will. Harmony is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. Mountains were places of divine providence. Mount Hermon for her water and Mount Zion for the encounter Moses had with God to provide us with words to live by. Our sacred stories tell of the many mountains our God has visited to show us how to be one with her and to live harmoniously with each other and the earth. God came to the summit of Mount Zion and poured forth commandments from heaven. Jesus came to the tops of many mountains in his life, richly pouring forth an ever-flowing stream of miracles and life-giving words. Transfigured in uncreated light on Mount Hermon, Jesus revealed his divinity to the disciples. Drops of his blood fell upon the rocks of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. There, Jesus, the Son of God, revealed the passion of God to give his very life to be one with us and renew the face of the earth in that Edenic, Eden-like harmony. God has made blessings to flow and sustain an ecosystem of heavenly and earthly things in harmony with each other from the mountaintops. Like dew that gathers as one body of water flowing into creeks and streams to fill the wells of those who dwell below, God has ordained goodness to flow in harmonious relationships. God has commanded his blessings to reach us in this way. This does not come easily or readily, though. Harmony doesn't happen without our participation. The first line of Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when kindred dwell together in unity." We know what it means to dwell in a house or an apartment with others. We know how hard it is to keep the peace and be a family that lives in harmony with one with another. We know just how good and pleasant it has been when the summer holidays made us more united, more in sync with others, with our friends and family and our neighbors. There's something, though, much greater being commanded as a blessing to us in the poetry of Psalm 133. The meaning flowing out of the stanzas are meant to bring to mind how good and pleasant it is when the family of God dwells together in unity. We are meant to dwell together as kindred in Christ and know God's goodness in life by doing so. Jesus said to his followers in John's gospel, "Remain united to me and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me, in my body. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. Abide in it. Dwell in it together. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus was passionate for his kindred to be one, just as he and the Father are one, for us to know joy in this life. Jesus did not envision us living apart from one another as individuals pursuing this on our own, fulfilling the gospel's words there. But he envisioned that we would do this as a new community, a new family, one which others would look upon and see as good and pleasant and want to become a part of. The vision God has for us as a church is to be a community that dwells together, comes together in various ways to create joyous and harmonious unity, and to do so by inviting and welcoming the very different people who dwell in our communities and neighborhoods. What are we inviting people to experience when we do invite them? Today, we are invited to consider whether we are dwelling together in such a way that others can become one with us. Our welcome is an invitation to kinship. Mary Palmer, the author of a book that we're considering together as a church, she writes in her reflections on what it means to truly be a welcoming community. She writes, "Many churches assume they are friendly, But in reality, they are simply communities of friends who unintentionally exclude others. Hospitality begins with intentionality. Simple acts such as greeting visitors warmly, introducing them to others, and following up after their visit can make a world of difference, she writes. A true welcome goes beyond the systems we can put in place. It requires a culture shift in which every parishioner takes responsibility for making others feel seen and valued. Even here, we must pause and consider, what are we welcoming people to? Are we dwelling together and living as a community apart from irregular or regular participation in Sunday worship? The people we invite and welcome through our church doors need to be able to find connections with us, ways to give and receive and become one with us. What are those connections going to be in the future for connecting those who move into Deep Cove and North Saanich into our family? I'm asking you to be creative with me. The lasting spiritual and relational connections others are looking for in our neighborhoods require more from you than from me, because you live there. One day I will move away, I'll move on as your priest, and you will remain here. Your mission is not simply to seek to meet the budget to keep the doors open. Your calling is as kindred in Christ, to consistently create ways of being together that excite the dormant spiritual feelings in others yet to come. When the family of God dwells together, creating harmonics with their activities, God sees from above and commands blessings to flow. God has anointed and ordained the people of this church to make it so. We need to be creative and innovative and passionate about doing things we have never done before together. We need to stir up a holy curiosity, a willingness to ask what if and why not. And for those of you who are visiting in our families, our members of families, I hope that you can take this to your places where you go back and consider what it means to be a part of the family of God nearest you. Playing together the music of the kingdom of love and hope in a world full of ugly violence and disharmony is what Christ came and died for us to do. Let's play on and be kindred as we are meant to be. Amen.